Welcome to the Michael Hilton Show, Reigniting Dad's Lights. Join me on this journey as I provide the ups and downs and insights within my own journey of life as a father, a husband, and an entrepreneur. Starting out from rock bottom in my own life as a one-time fucked up, lying, cheating, stealing, stressed out alcoholic with suicidal thoughts. I was addicted to alcohol, I was addicted to drugs, I was addicted to gambling. I want to share with you how I transformed my own life and now I help other committed entrepreneurial dads that want to rise up, reignite their lives to become better men, better husbands, better fathers, better leaders, better entrepreneurs. Men that want to create more fun, freedom and success within their own lives. So, welcome to episode one of the Michael Hilton Show, Reigniting Dad's Lives. So, I am standing in my living room at the moment. My little baby girl is in bed. My wife is away with the boys on holiday, taking them on a trip. And I thought now would be a good time to kind of start this podcast. Like, I did start this a few weeks ago, but it was in a very different direction. And since then, I kind of got more clarity with a lot of conversations that I've been having recently with entrepreneurial dads that are struggling in their lives. I kind of thought, you know, I already have a podcast, right? I already have a podcast. Me and my good friend Clive, Max Heath, we've got a podcast called Men on Form. If you want to go and check it out, we're on iTunes, Stitcher, across pretty much every platform. But I wanted to do something for myself because predominantly that podcast, we're generally talking to guys, but not dads. And recently on my journey, I've been having a lot more conversations with dads that are running businesses or business owners that are fathers, husbands, and they're struggling. And they say in this coaching industry, in this work that we do, helping people transform their lives, you're either helping someone that's going through something you're going through, or you're helping your former self. And this podcast, this first episode is going to be about my journey through my struggles with addiction from an early age and where I was and coming up and going through addiction and the crazy shit that I got up to. Look, just always sedating my lives with drink and drugs. Up to the point where I kind of left a job. I went out into the world to become an entrepreneur. And there was a period of time that it was really good. And there was a period of time that I started making money. But then there was this period of time where I wasn't really in a great place. So I'm going to share this with you because a lot of guys that I'm having conversations with, and I've become really passionate about this, and I'll tell you why. I've become really passionate about helping fathers, entrepreneurial fathers, right, that are stressed out and burnt out, overworking, and they've spent so much time building a business and working and making money that the fire in their relationship has gone out with their spouse and the fire with their relationship with their kids. Not saying that they don't have a relationship with their kids, you know, not saying that they don't love their kids, but there's this big disconnect because they're always working, because they're constantly running from this place of stress and fear. Always kind of going in circles. So they'll kind of come to a point where they're like, right, I need to change this. I've got to change this behavior. I can't carry on like this. I need to spend some time with the family, to only find themselves a little sooner or later back at the same place. You know, they swear off, I'm going to make a change. I told the wife, this is it. I'm going to make a change. And then, boom, straight back. So I'm going to share this journey because why is this really important to me? Why is it important for me? You know, I've already got a podcast. Why is it important for me to invest my time into sharing this information and doing another podcast and spending my time editing it and doing all this stuff? Because as a kid, I grew up without a father. I never had a father in my life. And I never really thought it bothered me. And I got into my teens and I got into my 20s. And I didn't really know how much it bothered me until I started on this journey of personal development and really working on myself and going through massive amounts of growth and dropping a lot of masks that I carried. But one thing I always promised was how my dad was in my life, my kids would never experience that. But as you're hearing my story, my eldest, who's 4 years old, did experience that from daddy when he was born. And it's really important for me to help men, right? Not just be, I call it like the one-trick pony. I become a one-trick pony. I become good at work. I become good at working because I was getting my significance from work, because I was getting my meaning at work, right? My meaning in life, because I was making money and it felt good, and that's what society tells me I need to go and do. And it just felt really easy to do that and spend long hours at work. But the problem was, when I wasn't making money, I was still just spending long hours at work, even when I wasn't working, because I just felt so disconnected. I'd drawn this big wedge in between my relationship with my wife and my kids, but it was mainly about me. It was my relationship with me. And I was struggling, right? I was internally struggling. So it's important for me to help other fathers that are going through a similar thing, right? They're one-trick ponies, they're at work, they can make money, their business, they're good at making money, they're good at business, but their physical health may be shot to pieces, they're burnt out, they're stressed out, their mental state, their personal relationships with themselves and others are struggling, and especially within their workplace, and also their connection with their kids, right? But ultimately, this is going to have a knock-on effect. You know, a lot of guys that I speak to are kind of getting to a point where their business is struggling. They can't take their next step and they think it's a business problem. And like I share with a lot of guys is, it's not always a business problem. It's more about the head of the business, the person in the business, like me. Like, my business was going really well and then I had this meltdown and things, it just all melted. It all just went, it all just disappeared. But it wasn't the business, because the model was really good and it was working. But what happened to me was I just had this massive meltdown. So I want to share this. I want to share my insights, you know. And as of today, you know, I've been through a lot of growth, a lot of work in myself. I've really kind of fell into this men's work and really kind of shredding a lot of layers and a lot of masks that I wear that was really holding me back to really express myself in my relationship with my wife and myself and my children, and really get results in my life, the results that I want, because that's the most important thing, is what are the results you're getting? Yeah, what are the results you're getting? We all go through this part where it's like, right, I'm going to change my behavior, but the behavior is a byproduct of the misunderstandings and beliefs and the stories you're carrying around inside of you. So I'm going to share some insights that I've had, and I'm going to share a couple of like conversations that I've had with guys that I've worked with that have gone through a similar thing. Now, let me start off. So, you know, from the beginning, really, like, there's loads of stuff out there about my story, but my story started off that, you know, I never had a father in my life. I never had a dad. So as a kid growing up, I never had a father figure there. I was pretty much brought up by my mum. And my mum at the time probably wasn't in the best place personally herself. Like, she openly admits that, you know, that she wasn't in a great place herself. She was a good mother, and she always did her best. She wasn't a bad mother. She wasn't horrible. But she wasn't in a great place herself at the time, personally. So I was brought up by my mum, and I'm grateful for that, because my mum was really my mum and dad, you know. And she always stood by me, you know, through the hard times that I went through. But that, not having that father there, without even knowing about it, really played an impact, because what I didn't know is how much I was craving my father's attention, right? I was craving like some father figure in my life. So, you know, as I grew up, I kind of went out into the world, and I don't blame my dad for this. None of this is my dad's fault. It's not nothing to do with my dad now. I take full responsibility for this. But I went through life, and, you know, I just felt really disconnected from people. Like, I didn't get school. I often say this is, I did not get school. I didn't understand school, right? But what I later found out was I really struggled with reading and writing. So I really struggled with reading and writing, but because I didn't want anyone to know. So there was one time I writ a whole page of work out, and this is one of my memories that really crippled me at school. I writ a page out of work, and I was at school, and I was messing about, and a teacher came up and read out the page. He just literally read out everything I'd written, and it made no sense, right? It literally made no sense. I was diagnosed with dyslexia. At the time, it wasn't really out there. People didn't really know much about it. People knew about it, but people weren't speaking about it. There weren't the support that you get now. And I couldn't share this with people that I... This is how bad it was once, is I was sitting next to a girl, and I said, can I copy the front of your book, right? So, like, we had to write our names and our class number and who's our teacher and all that in the front of our book. And I said, can I copy the front of your book, right, so I can copy, because I couldn't spell anything. And I actually writ her name out on my book, and she pointed it out, and I was, like, mortified. But a teacher read my book, read this whole page of what I'd written out, and it was just like speaking some foreign language, right? It was really like speaking some foreign language, and I was mortified. All the class were laughing at me, and they were just, the whole class was laughing at me. I just felt mortified. I was so scared. And I went home, and I kind of thought, like, you know, people would forget about it, but they didn't. You know, the next day I went to school, they were still laughing and joking and taking the mickey out of me about it. But I just felt so mortified about that. So what I learned was to be naughty, right? So this is what I learned, because I knew that if I was naughty, I would be sent somewhere, they would take me out of the class, or they would do something. So I didn't have to stay in the class and ask for help and struggle, because I didn't want to ask for help. I couldn't ask for help for some reason. I don't know where that come from. Somewhere along the line, I just didn't want to ask for help. And I didn't want other people to see my weaknesses. So that was one of my earliest memories of really feeling like a failure, feeling isolated, feeling not good enough. So I'd be really naughty. And what they was always doing was trying to work on the behaviour. They was always trying to work on my behaviour. Like, why is he naughty, trying to figure it out? You know, like, let's remove him from class. But the reason I was doing it is because I knew that it was giving me something. It was enabling me to get out of the classroom so I didn't have to do the work, or I'd feel embarrassed, or I couldn't spell and couldn't read and write. Because I always used to have to sit next to someone and copy their work. I would always sit next to them and copy their work. So going on from that, you know, I started drinking, right? I started drinking at a young age. And this kind of, when I found this drink, it kind of lit me up. It enabled me to be someone that I felt that I couldn't be without the drink. So I started thinking, wow, this makes me feel really good. Right, I feel really confident now. I feel like on the ball. You know, I can chat to women. I can be more of myself. Because little did I know that all those insecurities about my reading and writing were also manifested in everything else in my life. You know, how I looked, how I acted, the size of my manhood, my speed, everything. It started, like, it was like, if you've seen the film Spider-Man, where he gets the Venom suit on him and it just sort of spreads all around him and consumes him. And that's pretty much what happened to me. It was just all consuming. So I found drink, and before I knew it, it started becoming a problem at a young age. Like, I was stealing money to get drink. And as this progressed and progressed, obviously the circumstances started to get worse. So in my early teenage years, I'd found cocaine, and I was using cocaine a lot, you know, and it was beautiful, right? Because at the time, I remember the pub that I went down, it was not there anymore, it was called the Railway in Pitsea. Opposite that was a bank called the Woolwich, right? Do you remember the old Woolwich, when the Woolwich was round about? And I went into the Woolwich and applied for a loan, and the guy said, well, come back in an hour and we'll let you know. And I went over to the pub, and I was in the pub, and I going to get $5,000 because I'm going to get a new car and get it all kitted out. And I was only young at the time. And I went over and the guy came out and said, yeah, you've been approved for the $5,000. And I was like, great, could we top it up to $7,000 maybe? So he went back in and yeah, we've done that. It's topped up to $7,000. Brilliant. So I got this loan. So then I went out and got a bunch of credit cards. Now, here's the problem is I then thought, well, I've got this money, right? I've got this money and I'm spending it and I'm not going to work. So then I thought, well, I've got all this money. I don't need to work anymore. So I'm at home going to the pub every day, drinking, buying cocaine, doing drugs. I bought an old car, an old banger, and for 1,500 quid, but all the rest of the money just went on drinking drugs. I had all that money there. It was just dwindling away, drinking drugs. And then at some point, they wanted to have their money back. So, you know, I ended up going bankrupt at the age of 19. Some guy told me that that's the best thing to do is go bankrupt. It wipes your slate clean. And, everything would be cushy after that, if only that was true. If only that was true. So, that was pretty much like how my teenage years went and into my 20s as well. But what happened is, as the drinking was becoming more and more in my life, like it got to the point where I was drinking pretty much every day. And this drinking every day doesn't make you an alcoholic. You know, let's get that right. You know, people talk about alcoholics. If you drink every day, you're an alcoholic. That's not necessarily true. You know, basically, like if you're drinking and it is a problem in your life. If you're drinking, you might only drink twice a week, but if it's stopping you from connecting with your kids, if it's stopping you from connecting with family members, if you're sitting indoors drinking and you're sedating your life, you know, to avoid those uncomfortable feelings that you're experiencing, then it can be a problem. But it started getting more and more, and the consequences getting more and more, and you know, I was with a girl and she was trying to help me, and anyone that got in the way between me and my drink was removed, right? Because it was the most important thing for me at the time. So this progressed and progressed and progressed, and it came to a point where I just couldn't go on anymore. You know, I remember one particular horrific incident that happened. Well, there's two incidents that really kind of stick out, you know, to me. Well, let's give it three, right? Three. Number one is I used to go into my nan and granddad's house for one purpose, and that was just to steal money off of him, right? I'd go in there and steal money off of him so I could spend it on drink and drugs. Another one was I was drunk one night and I was sitting there and I had a knife to my wrists and I was shouting at my mum, I'm going to end it all. And she comes towards me and I cut her wrist open with a knife, and then I run out the house and I was mortified. And then there was another incident where I'd been up on a bender for days and days, and at the time I was working for a company and it enabled me to kind of drink at work and stuff, and I'd been up for days on a bender and I was going to end my life, you know. And my mum kind of come down and said, what's going on? And I'm like, I just can't go on anymore, mum. I can't go on. I, my mum was talking about getting me sectioned or calling someone, and you know, it was a horrendous state. I remember it was a horrendous state I was in. But the next, I went to sleep, I got up and I went back out and drunk again. You know, it didn't stop there. But it wasn't until later on, I think it was around the age of 26, that I'd been to recovery a few times, and at the age of 26 I just kind of said enough's enough. You know, that like my life was so miserable. It was, you know, I look back on it now, and one of the reasons why I drank is because at the beginning it enabled me to fit in. All I ever wanted to do was fit in. I just wanted to fit in. I wanted to be a part of. And I never felt that I could fit in. I never felt I'd be a part of anything, right? I never felt good enough. So I would drink. And I would drink because it enabled me for a short periods of time to feel good enough to fit in. But obviously, as I got older and that consumed me more like the venom web, it consumed me more and more. I needed more and more drink to fuel it, but I couldn't. It just, in the end, stopped. And I just never, it got to the point where I was drinking indoors and isolating because even the drink wasn't numbing that pain of not feeling good enough or not feeling connected to anything. So I went and got help, and my life started moving forward. And then I kind of realized when I was on this journey that I wanted to become an entrepreneur, right? I started reading books, and I always reference this book. It was the first personal development book, and I'm looking at it now. I was reading it to my four-year-old the other night, but he didn't quite grasp it, and it is a little bit for him. It's a kind of a kid's book as well, but maybe in another couple of years I'll read it to him. And it's called Who Moved My Cheese? And people were talking about it, so I read this book, and it's the first book I read, and it was interesting, right? Because it really got me thinking a little bit differently about life, because I was working in a job that I hated, and I wanted to kind of, the only book I'd ever read was The Big Book from Alcoholics Anonymous, and then I read this other book, and then this I just felt this overwhelming drive for and craving for information, because going all through school, I bummed out of school, I had no education, no exams, no nothing. I just left school really early, and I come out of school with nothing. No exams, no nothing. And I'd never really studied at school. I hated it because I wasn't studying. I never found anything that really set me alight, like going to study maths and English, just at the time, because of this deep, feeling of not being good enough and never going to measure up and never going to be good enough for anyone or anything, I had no desires to do anything with my life. So when I read this book and something happened, like this switch went off in me, and then I started reading personal development books. And at the time, here's the thing, like reading and writing, you know, my spelling was awful and my reading, I couldn't read. Like, this book, Who Moved My Cheese, is 76 pages long, and it took me 2 days to read it. Most people were talking that they'd read it in like an hour, 2 hours. So I started on this journey, and I started self-teaching myself to read. And I started on this journey of self-teaching myself to spell. Like, now my grammar and spelling isn't spelling, my language as well, my spelling isn't perfect, right? But it's a lot better. Sometimes when I write posts, I have to go back and edit them, and they're not particularly great, well written. That's why I predominantly like doing this or doing videos myself, because I just find it easier to express myself through videos and talking than I do so much about written, long written content. And I don't particularly enjoy that. I don't mind doing it, you know, but it's not something that it actually sets me alight. So, you know, so I got this first, and I started reading more books and I come across Tony Robbins. I think the next book was Think and Grow Rich. It's the Think and Grow Rich. I started on the Think and Grow Rich. It was like 8 hours long, and I'm phoning my friend up. I've got ideas. Let's do stuff. Let's start a business. And then it led on to other books, and then The Four Agreements, which is one of my favorite books of all time. And then, you know, it just went on, and I'm looking at my bookshelf now, which is just full up with books, and I love reading. I love learning. See, at school, I never knew that, but I love learning. So then I got this first. I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to do something, but I didn't know what. So at the time, I started heavily getting into the gym. So I'm like, right, I'm going to be a gym instructor. And I remember I signed up to a course, and I remember on the first day of the course, and I was in recovery, and I phoned my sponsor, and I said, I'm sitting outside ready to go in to do something I've never done before, right? And I was petrified because it was writing, spelling, and I said, I am so fucking frightened right now. I'm so frightened because I don't feel good enough to do this. And he said, bless him, you know, it's funny because anyone that was older than me, there was a lot of guys I looked up to as father figures, right? Because I never had a father in my life. I was always trying to seek approval from certain men. And my sponsor, when I first went into recovery, he was a great man. And he really instilled some discipline in me and really helped me a lot. And he was like a father figure to me, to be truthful. You know, he'd become like a father figure to me. And I really craved and needed his attention and because I've never had it from my dad. I've never had a dad, so I really craved that. But he just said to me, look, you know, just go in there and do your best. Anyway, so I went through, and it's amazing because I've just remembered this. I forgot this, that I went through and I passed my exam. And then I got a call one day and they said, oh, we've got a conference, like we've got this thing that we're going to. So my tutor and another lady, they said, we've got this event and we want you to come along. So I'm like, okay. And I'm kind of like, they said, just get dressed up and come along. Anyway, cut a long story short, I won the Franchise Student of the Year. Basically what happened in a whole class of people, right, who me that's there thinking I'm the stupidest and I'm the thickest and I'm the dummy and I can do this, right, in a whole class of people, they put me forward to win the Franchise Student of the Year because of how much work and dedication I put into these exams because I couldn't read and write. And so that was the start of my journey into entrepreneurship. I was working in a gym and I wanted to be a personal trainer. And then I got into something called functional medicine and it was another exam that I'd done. And just this drive went on and it went on. And I got a business coach later on down the line. You know, I was working in gyms, I was building my personal training practice, and I really wanted to do something with this functional medicine stuff because I become fascinated about the body and just really fascinated about the body and how it all functioned and health. And it was all for myself as well. So then I got this business coach and things started to go really well for me. They started to go really well. But on this journey, so let me share this. Let me rewind a little bit. So on this journey, I was doing a lot of personal development, right? But what I was doing is I was talking a pretty good game. Yeah, so I would read a book and I'd go out there and regurgitate this information, right? So I'd read a book and go and regurgitate this information. I wouldn't actually apply too much of it to my own life, right? So it was coming from this place of do as I say, but please don't do the fuck what I'm doing, right? Because behind closed doors, my life wasn't that great. You know, I was hiding behind these masks. And I would post things on Facebook. I would say things on Facebook once I'd read a book, but it actually had no meaning and substance to me, and I wasn't getting the results. So what happened? Now I'm going to share this. What happened is something switched in me in this craving for money, right? Because I never really had a lot of money, and becoming an entrepreneur, you know, I got into Tony Robbins. I see Tony Robbins, and I'm like, so I'm building my fitness business up. I see Tony Robbins and I'm like, that's what I want to do. I want to do that. And I want to make millions and millions of pounds. Because I heard the story of Tony Robbins made £1 million a year. So I'm like, I want to do that. So it started, right? And what happened is I spoke to, I'm not going to tell the particulars because it's people that may, it could be something that gets other people into trouble, but let's cut a really long story short. Someone that I knew was but they were doing something with a guy with regards to fraud, right, with bank cards. So I had two business account cards and I had four bank accounts. So basically what happened is I contacted this person and said to him, I'm interested in doing this fraud. So by this time, I'm like, I'm signing up to all these stuff, all this personal development stuff. I'm quote unquote supposed to be living a spiritual life through the AA way of living, you know. I'm talking a really good game, but then there's this part where I've got this craving and desire for money. And the drive is on and I'm looking at any ways to make the money. So I spoke to the guy and the guy said, yeah, great. How many cards you got? Blah, 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 blah. We can do this. We can do that. This is what we can do. So cut a long story short was I was going to get about £35,000. So what happened was in between this, I'd signed up to Unleash the Power Within with Tony Robbins, right? And I had gone out with the guy that was doing it. We'd gone out, we spoke about it, what we was going to do, when we was going to do it. And then what they do is give them my bank cards, and they're warming up my bank accounts, you know, putting some money in, taking it out, warming it up, taking some money out. Anyway, and I lost £300. I gave the guy a card with £300 in it and said, oh, I need that card back for the money, and he took the money. But that's my fault, you know, for trusting someone that does credit card fraud to give them my card. But anyway, so I said to the guy, he said, we're going to do it this weekend. I was like, oh, no, I can't do it this weekend. There's no way I can do it this weekend. And he's like, why? I said, because I'm at an event. And I was going to the Tony Robbins event. So it was a 4-day event, Unleash the Power Within. Anyway, so it was on, we went to the first day, the second day, and then I think it was on the third day. Then it was that night that we were going to go and do it. And we was in the audience at Tony Robbins. And Tony Robbins, we'd done this process. And Tony Robbins said, what I want you to do now is turn around to the person next to you and tell them something that you have not told anyone. Something that is eating away inside of you. See, inside of me, it was really eating away inside of me that I was doing this, right? Because I knew it was wrong, but this drive for money was on. Because I'd already started spending the money. I was going to my wife, I've just got a feeling, she was my girlfriend at the time, I've just got this feeling everything's going to be good. I just got a feeling we're going to make loads of money soon. And she was like, why is that? I said, I don't know, I've just got this feeling, right? Anyway, so I turned around and said to him, tonight when this event finishes, I'm going out with this person. We're going to this place and we're going to do this thing with the money. And it's basically credit card fraud. And he looked at me and said, you need to fucking stop that. And I said, yes, I know. Anyway, so I've come out of there and I made some cock and bull story up to the guy where I couldn't make it, and he was going mad. He was phoning me all hours and I was asleep and I had loads of missed calls. And I was just like, I just ignored him the next day, so I went back to Tony Robbins' event. But I didn't go and do this credit card fraud. Anyway, so I got to a point where I said to my wife, I said, I've got something to tell you. And her face was mortified. Like, she was just sitting there waiting for me to say, I'm cheating on you. And I said, I've been lying to you. And she was like, her face went white. I said, I was on the verge of doing credit card fraud. And that's why I was saying she was going to make all this money and do all this stuff. And she went mad, right? Because she thought I was being really weird and off with her through this whole process. For this whole process, I was being really weird and off of her. And she thought I was sneaking and hiding my phone and having secret conversations with this guy and going in the other room. She thought I was having an affair behind her back. She thought I was cheating. And she said, is there anything else you want to tell me? And I said, no. Why would there be anything else? She said, you're seeing someone else, aren't you? And I'm like, no. I'm not seeing anyone else. I'm just, this is what's happened. This is what I'm doing. I've been doing this credit card fraud. Anyway, she went mad anyway. And then I contacted the guy and said, look, I'm not going to do this. I'm not doing this. Anyway, it ended up costing me thousands. I had bank charges. I had money drawn out. And I just owed money. Money bounced everywhere. And it was a really tough time because I was just getting on top of money at the time. And then this happened. Anyway, so this kind of drive, this drive for money, it just went. Anyway, I fast forward a little bit and I'm carrying on this journey as entrepreneurship and this spiritual guy. And I kind of put that behind me and I'm like, right, I need to move on from this. I need to learn from that, you know, that's not where I need to go, you know. So I got a business mentor and my business started really taking off and I was doing really well. But here was the thing. In between all that, I hadn't really changed as a person, right? My focus was still all about money, money, money. So I started making really good money. But what happened is I had no more money than I already had because I was spending it. So I was making good money and I was eating out more. I was going to my office. I was spending the money. And I wasn't telling my wife this. And we were on the verge of getting married. Like we was going to Turkey to get married and we had to borrow money to go because I was getting money in. And I'm talking like, I was making a lot of money in the months, but I was just spending it. And I was lying and hiding it from my wife because I wanted this money for myself. And when our firstborn baby had come, Riley, and I was working long hours, and I'd done exactly what I said I wouldn't do. I always said when my baby boy would come, and I loved him dearly, you know, and he was a miracle baby because we were told that we couldn't have kids. And I loved my wife and I loved my kid, but I really didn't know how to connect with them because I was so busy in my life, always trying to stop feeling what I was feeling. I was always trying to, I was either addicted to drink and drugs, and then that stopped, and then I would gamble and I'd relapse gambling, and I'd be addicted to computer games, and then I'd be addicted to anything to try and change the way I felt because I didn't think how I was feeling I should have been feeling. And I'd never been taught to, you know, we go through life as men and we're told that big boys don't cry, man up, you know, you don't show your emotions, you just fucking get on with it. You know, you just fucking plow on through. You don't show your emotions. You don't show signs of weakness. You don't ask for help. And I'd picked all that up. And I'd spent time with other people that were like that. So it became my belief system. And I was dying inside. All through this stuff that I was doing, this personal development, I still felt like I was dying inside because I just was not being real and authentic. And as this business started to grow and the money was coming in, I fell out of integrity within my business and the money was coming in. I was just spending it, having eating out, having lunches, buying shit that I didn't need and investing it more and more into marketing and sales to try and get more money. Anyway, so we went off to get married and I wasn't spending hardly any time with my wife and my kid. I was going out early in the morning and I was coming home very late at night because really what was going on is our relationship was struggling. I was struggling with myself and the relationship was struggling. I didn't want to have that uncomfortable conversation. See, when we're in that place and our relationship is struggling and we're getting significance from making money, why are we going to stop doing that? We're going to keep throwing ourselves into making money and work because that gives us our identity and our significance. I don't want to go home and have these uncomfortable conversations with my wife because I don't know how the fuck to deal with those feelings and those emotions. I don't know how to deal with that. And I don't know how to connect with this little baby boy, right? Because no one had ever told me, no one had ever shown me how to connect. And I was lost. And I was on this drive for external things. I wanted the cars. I wanted the money. I wanted the big house. You know, and I was working long hours. And then we went off to get married. And I was really good at putting this mask on, right? This happy face. In between that, while we was out there getting married, my uncle passed away. Bless him. He was a very large man and he died of heart failure and that. But all I could think about when I was on my wedding, when we was out there in Turkey, was getting back. I was in this office. What I shared with someone. My business blew up. I said, I can't be in this office anymore because I need more space, more time. I moved to a bigger office. I employed someone to come and work for me. Anyway, so all this was going on. I was out of integrity with my business. I was just focused on money, money, money. Everyone was a pound note. I was seeing 8 to 9 clients back to back, back to back. And I was physically burnt out. I was stressed out, burnt out, isolated inside, feeling numb and disconnected from myself and the world. So what happened is we'd come back and I had loads of consultations booked in. And what happened was not one person. I had 40 consultations booked in and not one person turned up. And it didn't matter what I'd done in my business, I couldn't make money. In the end, I was paying someone to do a lot of money to do my marketing for me. I had to stop that. Then Facebook closed down my Facebook ads, right? And that's where I was getting all my leads from, right? They closed down my ads because I put an ad out there and they started getting really strict on it. Boom, closed my Facebook ads down. That was my only stream of business. I didn't have nothing else. I was a one-trick pony. I was a one-trick pony making money and I was a one-trick pony with Facebook ads, right? Because the truth was I found it really hard to connect with people and talk to people in the real world because I found it really hard to have deeper meaningful conversations with myself and own up to the shit that I was doing. So this happened and Facebook ads went, they closed it down, I had to get my marketer went, my office went, my business went. And I was in a fucking dark place. Like I felt depressed. and I started experiencing suicidal thoughts. So I said to my wife, we need to get away, right? I need a break. So if you know anywhere in England, if you're from England, if you're listening to this, or anywhere if you know England, in England, we ended up going Devon Cliffs. probably not the best place to go to when you're feeling suicidal, right? Devon Cliffs. But we went Devon Cliffs. And I was feeling really suicidal. I was depressed. And I was feeling suicidal, like I was having suicidal thoughts. I'm not good enough. I felt like a failure. I had all this guilt and shame that I'd suppressed down. I hadn't told my wife the whole story. That didn't come out for a little while yet. And I just felt so ashamed that I felt I'd let down my family. And I've got this little boy. I'm newly wedded. I've got this little boy. They're relying on me. And I can't support them now, right? And it was a really tough time for me. So I kept going out for walks. I just said to my wife, I need to go out for walks. And I was talking to some friends. And I remember walking along the beach and I had a really powerful insight. I was walking along the beach and I started to ask myself the questions like, why has this happened to me? You know, like, I'm a few years sober now. My life's been a roller coaster, ups and downs, ups and downs. Like, what is going on for me? Why has this happened to me? Why me? I was walking along the beach by myself and I was asking myself that question. And I'd done a video, I think it was last year, we went back there actually to the same place. And I'd done a video on my Facebook about it at the same beach. And I was walking along and I was feeling depressed and I was feeling suicidal. I was feeling stressed out, burnt out. I didn't feel good enough, right? My relationship wasn't going particularly good. Well, like my wife was there for me, but I'm sure she didn't sign up for that shit, right? I'm sure she didn't sign up for this. You know, I'd lied to her. And so I cheated. I didn't cheat physically with another woman, but I cheated with money, right? I cheated in the sense that I broke her trust, right? So I'm walking along the beach and I'm asking myself the question, why? Why me? Why me? Why me? And I felt so ashamed. And all of a sudden, I've got this really powerful insight and this shift, which I've learned now can happen any given moment. And these are the things that transform our lives. And this shift was, Michael, you've got the inability to accept reality for what it is. That's why you're depressed. And I was like, holy fuck, where did that come from? Like, I've never said anything like that. I've never said anything profound like that before. So I went home and I went back to a caravan. I was searching online, looked for this quote. If I read this quote somewhere, someone else said it, and they hadn't, right? And that was really powerful because it transformed me. It changed me in that moment. I see something different. So I went down the beach and I kind of drew a line in the sand. And I stepped over that line and I said, when I build my business, I'm going to build a business from a place of integrity and honesty. I'm going to build a business, right, around the life that I want. See, what I've done is I built a tiny little life with my family around this business, this massive business. I was working 6 days a week, sometimes 7 days a week. I was spending very little time, and the time I was spending with my family, I was constantly hooked to my phone. I was constantly sending messages. I was constantly making phone calls. See, it's not how much time you spend with your family. It's not how much time you spend and invest in your wife or your kids. It's the quality of time. You're better off spending 15 minutes of quality time with your wife and your kids than you are spending 6 hours with them but not being there for them physically, just sitting there on your phone. So I made that decision. And then I said to myself, what do I want to do? What do I really want to do? You know, because the fitness stuff, I was doing it and it started making me money, but I wasn't passionate about it. What do I really want to do? So I went back to personal training. I went back to it for a bit. And then I made the decision that I wanted to be a coach. I wanted to help people. That's what I always wanted to do for a long time. As soon as I see Tony Robbins or anything by Tony Robbins, I knew that's what I wanted to do. So then I started on this journey to become an entrepreneur again because I had to go back to work. Like the personal training stuff wasn't working out. Right? I was working part-time doing that. And I went on this journey and I was spent so much time working on myself, like really doing the deeper work, right? and I started throwing myself into men's groups. I went to a men's group. You know, I kind of had this ego inflated, and I was like, I was going to a men's group in Birmingham, my first ever men's group, and I was kind of like, well, I don't really need this men's group. I know everything that I need to know. Like, you know, I know everything. And when I went to this men's group, I walked away from there saying, holy fuck, I know nothing. And I broke like an egg. Like, that was the first time that I had allowed myself to cry in front of other men. That is the first time I'd ever allowed myself to cry in front of other men. And I just broke open about my relationship with my wife and my kid and how much I've been struggling internally and all the masks I've been wearing. You know, it's all about how I look or how I'm perceived and what people think of me, not so much about who I'm being. And that's when I really started learning more about who am I being, because who I'm being is going to create what I do, and that's going to create the results in my life. So if I'm being a man of integrity, if I'm being a man of honesty, if I'm being a man of commitment, if I'm being a man of results and actions, right, that's going to show up in my life. If I'm a man where I'm flapping my gums but not doing it, and I'm going to tell you now that sometimes that happens. There's times when I have to catch myself because I can easily kind of just slip back into that. But it's here's the difference. It's not that I don't slip back into that. It's just when I slip into it, I don't spend hardly any time in it. I notice it. My awareness around it has become so much quicker. My awareness around stuff like this has just gone up a whole nother level. So as this has gone on, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I kind of thought, well, it's got to be helping addicts, right? And I started doing that, and I soon realized that I didn't want to work with addicts, right? Then I was coaching other people, and then I kind of realized that it's just like, I didn't want to work with men. I had no desire to work with men, but when I got into these men's groups and started working on myself and started kind of jotting stuff down, journaling and looking at myself and growing and expanding within myself, I kind of realized that, well, I wonder how many other men are struggling with this. I wonder how many other men out there are really struggling with what I've been going through. Like, they're entrepreneurs, they're fathers, right? They're making some good money, their bodies might be in okay shape, but they're not really looking after themselves. They're finished stressed out and burnt out. They're not really sure what to do, right? They're blaming their wife for their relationship going south. You know, I just done a video, funny enough, I've done a video and I was speaking about this. Like, our relationships and our marriages break down because complacency sets in, right? And me and my wife are just about to go on a couple's retreat. Not because our relationship's broken, but we've got to a place in our life now where we're working ourselves. I'm always constantly working myself. My wife is working on herself, but we've integrated this part where we're going to go together on this journey, right? And we're going to go on this journey together. And someone said to me, "Why are you going on this? Like, is there something wrong with your relationship?" And I said, "Why does there have to be something wrong in my relationship to go and do something like this? Like, why? Like, you've got a laptop and it might be perfectly fine, but you want to get an upgrade. Like, you've got a mobile phone. You've got the Apple. You've got the iPhone, whatever, 7. iPhone 8 comes out. Your iPhone 7 is still okay, but you want to upgrade. Your laptop, you want to upgrade. You want to get a new car, you upgrade, right? You want to get a new bike, you upgrade. Why the fuck would I not want to upgrade my marriage? Why the fuck would I not want to upgrade my relationship with my kids?" And the problem is, the mistake I made and what I see is, I was trying to fix my marriage and trying to fix being a father. Ultimately, when that happens, is I think that the other people have got to change. But if I don't focus on them, the only thing that can change is me. You can never change anyone, right? You can never change anyone. So I started getting really interested in working on myself, because I work on myself, my married life got better, being a father got better, right? My physical body got better, and my business started doing better, right? My business started doing better because my business will grow as much as I grow. Most people I speak to don't have a problem per se with their business. The problem is it's them that's in the business that's creating the problem. People don't have relationship problems, they have personal problems. But they don't want to look at it, they don't want to face it, and they want to point the finger at the other person. And I call it tennis, right? Oh, yeah, but you done this. And they back the ball back. No, yeah, but you done that. And they back the ball back. Yeah, but you need to change this. And then they back the ball back. No, no, you need to change that because you're this way. Nothing ever gets resolved like that. So as this journey has gone on, you know, I have grown so much. So much has changed for me. The way I see life, the outlook on life, you know. I've seen like these four key areas that we have in our life, which is our being, right? Our body, right? Our physical body, our strength mentally, our strength physically, right? Our relationships and our business. Now, when I speak about these four places, where a guy's at in these four places, they'll either say two, right? They'll either say, my business, and occasionally they might say my body, or they might say my body's doing okay, but my business isn't. My relationships are in the fucking pan. I'm not having sex with my wife. You know, we're hardly speaking. She doesn't want to know me. She wants to avoid me. Oh, and me as a being, I'm always biting people's head off. I'm angry. I'm feeling stressed out, burnt out. I'm just really unhappy with life. You know, and I can't share it with anyone because that's not what guys do, because guys have just got to fucking man up. So what I do is I go home and I start drinking because I sedate my life. I want to suppress my life because I don't know how to express or change what's going on with me. So that is pretty much me in a nutshell. And I've shared my journey many times, but this is a little bit deeper for me. And there's probably more stuff that I've missed here, but that's where I've gone from, where I've come to now. And this is why I've opened up this podcast personally, for me to share my journey with this, to help other entrepreneurial men that are struggling with the same situation, right? Because I started having conversations. So a guy that came to me, I actually got a message from his wife and she said, I'm sending him to you because of what's going on in his life. Anyway, he came to me, we got talking and I said to him, basically his life was this. He got up at 5, he worked, right? Got up at 5 in the morning, worked, got home about 6, 7 o'clock, see his kids for 10 minutes, got the laptop out, worked at the table till about 2 o'clock in the morning. Every night he'd done that. And he wasn't spending any quality time with his kids. Now, he was constantly running from this place of fear, always in fear. Fear of, he had people phoning him up at 7, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. He had people with problems, constantly phoning him up. And I said, right, the first thing we're going to do, he's after 5 o'clock, no, 6 o'clock it was. I think it was 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, you tell people now that your phone goes off, right? And these problems can wait till the next day when you're at work. And he was fucking shitting himself to do that, right? And I said, are you committed to doing this? He said, okay. I said, for 1 week, let's do this. So he told everyone at work, don't phone me past 6 o'clock so my phone's going off. His phone went off. A week later, he come back. I said, have you still got your business? He said, yeah. I said, has anything terrible happened? He said, no. He said, the problems that they're phoning me up with all night, I just deal with them the next day when I'm at work. I said, great. Right. So he was working 6 days a week, right? So we kind of come to an agreement. We worked on this and come to an agreement that he only worked late 2 nights a week. The rest, he finished. He took his kids out. He spent time with his wife, connecting with his wife. He started dating his wife. He started rekindling that old flame, right? Reigniting his life and his relationships. Because in business, he was doing well. But I said to him, like, why are you working all these hours? And he said, I don't know. He said, well, because I don't want my kids to go without. And I said to him, seriously, let's look at this. You don't want your kids to go without. What are they going without at the moment? They're going without their connection to their father, right? On Judgment Day, they're not going to lay there and say, Dad, you were such a great dad, you bought us all these toys. You're not going to lay there and go, Kai, if only I worked a little bit more, I could have got you this. What? And this, and I have spoken to a few people that have had this experience, especially someone that I worked with that had a very close near-death experience. They were laying there in their hospital bed worrying about whether they were a good father, a good husband, and what their relationships were like. Were they in order? That's what they worried about. And that's what most people worry about. They're not worried about, oh, I need to get to the office, I need to do this, I need to do that. That's what they worry about. And it completely changes perspective on who he was being. That's what I've got to look at. Who are you being? Who do you want to be? How do you want your life to be? Let's look at creating a life and then build your business around your life. Instead of, I think this will be the next topic I'm going to speak about, is about this. And so many people get it back to front. They reverse engineer it and get it back to front, where they spend too much time building a business and this tiny little life around it. So anyway, I'm coming up to, this is fucking really long, so I'm coming up to the end now, you know. And what I want to say is, if you know someone that this could help, please pass it on to them, right? Because I wanted to create this podcast. I wanted to invest my time and that in this because I'm very, very passionate about fathers showing up in their kids' lives. You know, it has not been easy for me to do that, right? I'm not making excuses. And I've worked fucking hard on myself to show up in my kids' lives because they mean the world to me and show up in my wife's life. You know, I love my wife dearly. I've just not known how to express that truly. I thought I knew what love was. I really thought that. And a lot of guys I speak to, they don't want to lose their wife, right? They don't want to split up. They don't want another broken home. Divorce is fucking through the roof. They don't want that. But there's no other option because they don't know what else to do for them, right? And it's another broken home and it's another broken family and it's the guys are just either sedating their lives or the guys are fucking killing themselves, right? Because they don't know how to express their emotions. My purpose for this is to stop that happening, right? My purpose for this is to not have another broken home where the kids are growing up without a father figure in their life, because it's important. Really important that the kids have that father figure there, that the family come together, you ignite, like come together and really work together and pull together to move forward. There's going to be ups and downs. Like me and my wife, we still have road bumps. They're just little bumps we have now. We have our ups and downs. Me and my wife's life is not perfect, right? Our relationship is not perfect. But here's the beautiful thing, is when it's not perfect and we have our bickers, we hardly spend much time in that, right? And we can quickly reflect back on ourselves. What did I do? What can I change? Where can I apologize? Where's my part in this? Right, let's disregard what she's doing. I'm just going to own this. What do I need to change here, right? And our relationship has grown, right? Is it perfect? No. Do we have our ups and downs? Yes. But fuck me, it's 1,000 times better than it was before. And I can't express, like, being a father with my kids, right, how important that is. Because I never had a father in my life. And if I can help one family, if I can help one man transform his own life to save a marriage, that can save another family, that can save kids being broke, coming up in a broken home, right, and have dad back. Why dad's still making good money? See, this is the thing, is a lot of guys think that they have to spend all the hours under the sun at work and that they don't get to, they won't get to build the business that they want or make the money they want. And it's absolute bullshit, right? When you reverse engineer it, things, you know, people think success is just how much money you have. Success is a fucking waste of time if you're not fulfilled in your life and you're not having fun, right? So many guys are not having fun, they're not fulfilled, they just think success is the material things they get. They get all these material things, it makes them feel okay for a little bit, and then they're back to square one. Oh, I need to make more money. Maybe it's a money problem, maybe the £1 million isn't enough, maybe I need 2 million. So I'm rambling on now. I encourage you, if you're listening to this, please pass it on to someone and send me a comment, hit me up. I'd love to hear from you. Speak to you soon. Take care. Thank you for joining me on today's show. If you enjoyed this podcast, please head on over and leave me a review on iTunes or SoundCloud or any other platform that you can find this podcast on. Also, head on over to my website at www.michaelhilton.com to keep up to date with any blogs, content or events that I'm running. Also, connect with me on Facebook at I Am Michael Hilton. Also, I'm on Instagram too. Now, just remember this quick little thing. If you're searching for me and can't find me, it's because my name is spelled differently. My name is actually spelled M-I-C-H-E-A-L. My mum always said she wanted me to be unique and different. I call bullshit on that. I just say to her, you just couldn't spell the name Michael. I hope you have an extraordinary day. Speak to you soon.